Here's a small message from Dick and Dennis, live from Eindhoven Rock City. See you all first weekend in August in Hamburg. You're listening now to Turbo Jugend Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turbo Jugend Radio, another episode that brings us closer to the epic number 100. If you look back at the last episodes, we've had several quite serious episodes due to the apparent situation we have got going in Europe and the need to spread the information, basically, even within the Turbo Jugend. And I changed it up a bit in the last podcast. Was a well-downloaded one, I have to say. Talked about Tübingen Airswheel and the band Cam Girl. It was a huge success. I had lots of downloads, and I perfectly understand that Tübingen is primarily about fun and about community and whatnot. So I got this down. Unfortunately, the recent developments in the U.S. Made me call some fine Tübingen-liche in San Francisco to get an update on the abortion situation in the United States. So that's another it's a very serious topic and serious conversations. And I always wanted to share some thoughts out of the Tübingen for you guys, so you get not a filtered, but at least an opinion of people who are involved in the same. He has a microculture, I would say, that the Tübingen is. And so I always wanted to give you a perspective of people like you and me out of the Jugend, understanding that we are all different, but in a way we have certain equal beliefs. So I consider that necessary to have their voices heard in the Tübingen. This is why I'm bringing you before the Welt Tübingen Tage. Just in between, I bring you an update on the situation of some political developments in the U.S. So sit down and not enjoy. That might not be the right word to use in this case, but listen up and listen what to find two of you members of the San Francisco area have to say about the current situation and some decisions taken by the Supreme Court. In the U.S. So listen up, and after this conversation, stay tuned. We'll have a rather fun cream puff and an announcement of the one, the only, the Bengal, who's returning to Tübingen Radio.
So hello, everybody. We are together on the air with me after some years, I have to say, both of you guys. Demandas, Amanda in real life from San Francisco, former singer, as I should say, of the Turbo Negro cover band. So that was great times back then. And with me as well is Bobby Ramon from the Turbo Jugend in Oakland. And it's good to have you guys back on the air. And unfortunately, the reason for being on the air is not a nice one, because I wanted to talk to you about the Supreme Court's decision to overturn the fundamental right to abortion, which was established some 50 years ago. So they turned this over, and what they basically do, they basically abolish it and give it back to the states. And as we know from not only the election but from the past years, we found out that more than 12 states or over a dozen states are probably overturning changing the right of abortion. I don't know. It's from being from Europe and always seeing or hearing about the land of the free and whatnot, it's a more than strange sign. So why don't you, Amanda, start us off with how you got the news and what was happening after that in the streets of, in this case, San Francisco or Oakland?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's devastating. Everybody kind of was aware that, you know, especially after the leak from the Supreme Court, that this was going to happen. And so, you know, it's like we knew it was coming, but never fully expected that it would happen. You know, it's like once it actually did happen, everybody's just clearly furious and in shock. And I'm full of rage. You know, this is, I can't fathom the fear and helplessness that, you know, women are going through right now who are in the process of getting an abortion or about to, or, you know, what they're going to have to do to do this. And, it's, the implications are huge, and it's infuriating, you know, and I can't even convey. There's so many things about it, you know, and what it could mean, and, what it already does mean. And I'm sure it's frantic right now in these states that have banned it. And, the people just, I can't imagine what they're going through.
Yeah. I mean, even though you live in California, which should be safe, in air quotes, still it's a very drastic situation. You were mentioning that you could see it coming, or there were signs of it, happening.
Just looking at what's going on in the Supreme Court and how, you know, it's gotten more conservative, and how it's gotten more conservative, you know, with Trump and everything, we suspected this, many of us did. And, we knew it was coming eventually. It's just, I don't think people realized how soon, you know. You know, the pro-life movement, anti-choice movement has been fighting this for years as well, and it's been in the works. And so I think once Trump was elected, I mean, I knew, I was just like, oh great, you know, this is, this is one of the things that will happen. And yeah, I think many people knew. And then when the leak happened, it was like, holy shit, here it is. You know,
but
so
how come, or actually describe the situation that on the streets or within your friends or all over the states, what was the reaction like?
I mean, there's been some protests, obviously, out here as well. You know, we just actually celebrated Pride this weekend. And so I attended Pink Saturday, which is another event for Pride. It's like celebrating the Dyke March and lesbians and everything. And, you know, I figured there'd be a huge protest at the park that day. And there wasn't, actually. Everybody was very, very happy, you know, and just full of love. And I think it turned out to be the event it usually is. But I think other than that, yes, a lot of people are protesting. I know that on Friday there was a big the trans rights activist movement, and they joined forces with the pro-choice movement and protested in the streets. And so, you know, there's a lot of that going on, and I think people will continue to do so. And yeah, people are pissed. People are pissed.
Maybe turning over to Bobby, Amanda mentioned that Trump put those people in place, and one has to wonder, because we obviously have a new, or we, you guys have a new president in place. Why didn't they change the Supreme Court? Were there wasn't there any way of preventing those persons being in charge at this point?
I don't know, man. I mean, maybe I'm the wrong person to ask that, because I'm the guy that believes that there's really not much of a division between Republicans and Democrats. I'm kind of an anti-state all around kind of person. I think it's all one big machine. They're all on the same side. I mean, obviously we have, there's women, people of color, like in charge that were like on board with this. Like it's a bigger thing than, oh, why don't the Democrats step up and do something about it? Because they're not outraged either. This is all, how do I explain it? It's us versus the state. I mean, everything Amanda said, like I echo, and it is outrage. It's outrage to the point where, I mean, I have Christian friends that are outraged by this. It's a basic human rights violation. And why aren't the other side? Why isn't the left stepping up and putting other people in charge? I think because the left and the right, that whole idea is a farce. I don't think it really exists. I don't think it's truly a bipartisan system. I think if it truly was a bipartisan system and it was a fair democracy, this wouldn't have gone through and it wouldn't have happened. Because, like Amanda said, I had heard like rumors that this was happening. And I just, because, you know, real life goes on. I don't want to say this isn't real life. You know, I'm a dad. I work. I have like my orbit, my little bubble that I live in. And I heard rumors like, oh, this might happen, right? I heard the leaks. And I just thought, like, no fucking way. This isn't actually going to happen. And then it seemed to me, I mean, Amanda, you tell me if this was your perception, too. It seems like you had your finger on the pulse more than I did. But it seemed like out of nowhere, I woke up to the fact that it had, like, been overturned, like, quickly. Like, it just, I heard rumors, kind of life went on a little bit. And then, boom, next thing we know. And then I'm seeing this talk that, like, Clarence Thomas, who famously, like, sexually harassed and assaulted women and somehow is still
Anita
on the
Hill.
Anita Hill, yeah. Well, I say women because Anita Hill spoke up. How many else?
Yeah.
She wasn't the only one. Come on. So this guy comes out and starts saying, let's take a look at contraception, at birth control. Let's take a look at same-sex marriage. And then after that, next is trans rights. Next is, I mean, name it. It's, I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent. My answer to you, to answer your question is, I don't think there is anybody that's truly on our side in a position of power to overturn this. I think it's predetermined. They're all on the same team, and it's just the people and our rights versus the state, and it's just always going to be that way.
Mm. But how,
and I mean, I'll go ahead.
Continue. Sorry, you do.
I was going to say, I mean, when we got, I think when you were talking about the Supreme Court, like how did it get to that point as well? You know, when Obama was in power, he was denied, you know, appointing another Supreme Court justice and blocked by Mitch McConnell, right? And then saying, oh, well, he's at the end of his term and, you know, there's not enough time when there was still, what, I think over 100 days left, I think it was.
Exactly,
and then
because there was something else in the works, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was completely wrong. And then when, you know, Trump was in power and got to appoint the new Supreme Court justice, it's like he barely had any time left in his term and they just immediately put it through, you know? And so it's, it's people like Mitch McConnell, you know, appropriating the laws to fit his needs, you know, and everything. And so it's like that's how we got to that point in the Supreme Court, you know? And so that's it, the conservative majority, you know, in that regard. And, I don't know if, that can't be changed anytime soon, you know, unless a few of them die off, you know, and something magically shifts, right? But
Mitch McConnell's going to die very soon. Look at his hands. He's got zombie hands already. He's on the way out. That's a good point, because even the liberals or Democrats, you know, they could possibly like affect some sort of change. A lot of the people on the left in those positions are very moderate. They still side with the conservatives on a lot of issues. So true, like, liberals in places of power that can affect some change, there's not enough. There's very few. And when they speak up, they're like ridiculed, like they're like AOC, like she's ridiculed, like she's some like just crazy, like uppity woman that is just like causing trouble. You know, that's kind of how they're framed, you know. That's just the way it's always been. It's like, I would say old white men, but it's not even old white men. It's old men and the women that love them, you know, that are like making these decisions.
Do you think it's a reflection of society changing to the conservative, the whole thing? Or is it just a wrong time? Is it the wrong place in this case that some people are in charge who should not be in charge? Do you think it's a societal thing, or is it a combination of time and place of politicians?
It is a dumbing of society. It is a societal. Sorry, Amanda. It is a societal thing. It's like I always tell people, like I don't believe the Trump election was some big conspiracy, like master manipulation. I think Trump got the most votes. I mean, if you drive across the country, like I have, even drive, you know, we're in a bubble in California. You can drive down Central California and you would see Trump signs in like agricultural areas for your entire 6-hour drive. I think the majority of our society is a conservative Christian society that's kind of trying to do this, like, let's go back to old school family values sort of thing. And I mean, I can think back to my childhood. I mean, it was like Reagan, it was Bush, it was, I mean, yeah. Obama was like a flash of like normalcy for a few years. And even then, like Amanda said, he was like stifled. So yeah. I hate to say it, but I think that is our country. It's not the land of the free. I mean, I grew up in school thinking the same thing. And the older I got, the more I realized that it's run by the conservative right. And I think it always will be. And I think that, you know.
But why is that? Do you have any clue why it's a country can turn into a conservative place like this?
I think the problem is it's always been conservative, you know, and I think what Bobby's saying is right. I think there's also this, like I said, like a dumbing of America. You know, it's like people aren't voting and people aren't educating themselves enough. They're getting caught up with stupid shit, you know, and social media and whatever, and just not mm-hmm. really paying attention. You know, they're not informing
yeah,
themselves.
They're not digging in.
They're not digging in. And mm-hmm. so when they're kind of numb to everything or just indifferent, there's no desire to vote and there's no desire to participate and become an activist, you know, and all these things. And so, I think it's a larger issue, obviously, but so I don't know if we're necessarily becoming more conservative. I think obviously our leadership has been, you know what I mean? But I think as a whole, we're just becoming dumb.
Yeah.
It's always been like that, but we're all not we, but the society on a whole is so like dulled and yeah, like she said, lazy and dumb, where we're not going to affect the change that needs to be affected. There's another argument to that, which I mean, not to get too into like the conspiracy theory weeds, but I mean, could society, like through voting, would it actually really work? Like, would the system allow itself to be changed? Like, I don't think so at this point. Like, I really don't think so. I'm already training my daughter to just not trust it. Just don't, just question everything. Just don't, you know, the president's not, I don't teach my daughter that the president is like who I was taught that the president is, you know, I pretty much taught my, like, this is just, yeah, there's a dude called the president and some people follow him. You know, I don't necessarily, hopefully we get someone good in there that we can like trust, but just because they're the president doesn't mean you can trust them, et cetera, et cetera. And to be like, you know, finger quote, like American free citizen, like you're saying, Danny, the fact that like we're teaching our kids that says everything, right? I mean, we're questioning this system that we're supposed to be trusting because we're supposed to be this free nation. And I distrust it so much that I don't think any amount of voting or activism at this point could truly change the system. I think we need to work amongst ourselves to find workarounds as a society outside of the state is kind of how I'm operating, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's just very, very interesting what you said, Amanda, that people are getting dull and social media might play the huge, I mean, don't underestimate that. Even us talking here, we spend way too much time on social media looking at stuff, which is, not turning to the masses again, it's most of the time is probably just seeing cats pushing down babies or, right. I don't know, I've seen guys dancing a lot lately, which I simply do not understand. So people are not using their available time to do anything sensible with it. They just do crap, and not that other
gratification crap.
That other generations were reading political books 18 hours a day. No, they did not do that, but at least they were actively thinking about stuff. And nobody's thinking anymore. They're just swiping stuff, right? That's right. What they do. Not only the conservative people or the dumb Americans, but also people who, Bobby, I think you mentioned that, who could change stuff, but they don't invest the necessarily time and energy of actively working against this movement or regime. I mean, you pointed perfectly out that you're doing it while educating your kids. So that's all good and fine. But most of the people, they haven't done so. Do you think is there any chance for a wake up call for people to change that? I mean, the right ones. I'm not talking about the conservatives, because I quite frankly c- consider them lost, but the right people waking up right now, because there's so many, and maybe we should use a few minutes on that as well. Bobby, you were mentioning that as well. Because other things could change as well. So we're going into dark ages, medieval ages again.
I don't know, man. I think, Amanda, I'm curious what you think about this. I don't know if I'm just so like disaffected, and I've been such a like a punk my whole life. I've never trusted like authority or government, period, where I'm just kind of at the point where I don't think it's the system itself is ever going to be overturned and changed. I think what we're going to need is like a grassroots, like the people need to just to learn how to operate outside of the states. For instance, on the abortion topic, we're in a very safe area, right? So my door is open to anybody from out of state that wants to come stay with me and go receive the care they need and have a place to like recover and have some support. I'll mail anybody pills that needs pills from where I'm at. I'm not afraid of the digital footprint and all that. Like, I'll do whatever the fuck needs to happen to try and help these people. I'm not going to sit around and wait for their state, like Texas, to like re-overturn these laws and do what's right, you know? So
yeah, I would agree with that. It's gonna have to be grassroots. I mean, I think spreading the word out about solutions right now, women are gonna have to research how to give themselves abortions safely, you know, taking the pills and access to pills. And I know there are a lot of clinics in these red states who are going to be shut down, who are still trying to help these women and help them pay for transportation costs and what have, at least in the immediate right now. I think long term, really, women as a whole need to be more educated about our bodies as well and what they're capable of. And, pregnancy is no joke. I've been pregnant, I've had a child, and I've delivered a child, and I almost died in delivery and almost bled to death. And there's a lot, they say that they want to protect children and children in the womb and this bullshit. And it's never been about that. You know, healthcare is a joke right now. It's a joke for women. It's a joke for children. There's the adoptions. I mean, I couldn't just go and adopt a child if I wanted to. It's not that simple. You know what I mean? Like, who's going to adopt to, who's going to let a queer woman just go and adopt a child? You know what I mean? And so this extreme right side is not about finding solutions or helping children and it's giving control. A fuck about their life after they're born. And carrying a pregnancy is no joke. It takes a huge toll on your body. It can kill you. You know, there's not enough education about just women and our health and what it means to be pregnant, you know? And so, and I'm going off on a tangent now, but yes, I think part of that grassroots movement is going to have to be, we just have to start giving a fuck about educating ourselves. And, you know, I was fortunate to have a life where I had things accessible to me, you know what I mean? And I didn't grow up extremely poor. And so I was very fortunate, but so many people aren't, you know, and
most aren't.
And I think people need to start fucking reading books. You know, I remember I was 19 years old and I read this book called Cunt, and by Inga Muscio, I think that's how you say her last name. And she details how she gave herself an abortion essentially like early on and by drinking this tea, you know, combination, and it's and it worked, you know. And I remember being so fascinated by that at 19 years old and going, holy shit, you know, and not even really understanding, like, wait a minute, what is my cervix doing, where's my cervix, and not really even fully understanding my body, you know what I mean. And I learned so much by just reading this one book. And so women needing to learn very young, as well as men, you know, about our bodies. And I don't know, it's so deep and layered, you know what I mean? There's no quick solution, but I think it's absolutely grassroots, and we have to do everything we can to help and find solutions, especially right now in the immediate, and giving people who need an abortion, giving them the resources they need right now. And if they're in those red states, how in the hell do we get them the help they need? You know,
right. And like Amanda was getting at the beginning, this isn't about protecting children. That's bullshit. That's a really easy like crutch to lean on, because everyone loves babies. It's for the kids, so it's really hard to, like, on the surface fight against that. But it's bullshit. It's about control. So basically, yep, what Amanda's saying is, like, exactly, take the control back. This is the main point that we're all saying, is it's your fucking body. You have control over it. You do what you want, and don't let anybody tell you what you can and can't do with your body. Meanwhile, they're going to tell you what you can and can't do with your body. That's very apparent now, but it doesn't mean you have to fucking do it. So through educating yourself, through supporting your friends, through men, like, learning about women's bodies and, like, what they need, and just listening and being supportive, and women, like, finding the power within themselves that maybe they haven't had their entire life. I mean, like she said, this is so multi-layered, and so there's so many angles. Each person has their own specific set of, like, problems and issues and things they need to deal with, like, to navigate this whole situation. And if you just keep centered on taking control of your own body and your own life by whatever means necessary, that's the only way we're going to, like, steer our way around this. Because the minute you lay down, it's over.
Yeah. And money talks, right? You know, Planned Parenthood, give money to these groups that you can. And, you know, Planned Parenthood helped me out when I was 19 years old and scared to death that I was going to be pregnant after a condom broke, you know, and I had to get Plan B, and it was prescription only at that time, and it had just come out, and they were trying to regulate that as well. And thank fucking God for Planned Parenthood. You know what I mean? And so, money, donate money, you know, money is the quickest way to.
And money also, you mentioned adoption. One thing people don't talk about is there are couples out there that are just dying to adopt a child and strictly cannot because of how fucking expensive it is to, like, go through the adoption process. Yep. So just put it up for adoption. How dare you? Okay, number one, you're ignorant to, like, okay, I've never been pregnant, but I was right there for 9 months during a pregnancy and during a very risky childbirth as well. Not to mention people close to me like Amanda and, unfortunately, a few others. People don't realize how fucking crazy pregnancy actually is. So let's assume your body can take a pregnancy, and let's assume that you choose to go ahead and endure a pregnancy, which that's a whole other can of worms. You're basically telling these women that you have to choose to endure a pregnancy. Let's just put it up for adoption. It's not that easy. None of these right-wing solutions are as easy as they're spouting in these, like, little quips on Facebook and Instagram and shit. Like, it's so complicated.
Again, all the children not getting adopted and being pushed through the system,
And how, Bobby, you mentioned it, and how far do you think can subculture or smaller societies or parts of societies, I'm not talking too big because it's too small of a society, obviously. I'm more talking about what you mentioned, like subcultures or punk or certain groups of society. Do you think how far can they really accept donating money? And how far can they change the grand picture? Do you think there's anything they can really change?
I don't think so. I don't think you can change the grand picture, but I think what we need to do is you need to focus on your orbit, right? Like your circle. So if everybody does what they can do to support their immediate friends, family, themselves, whoever might need it, and if you have that fork in the road where you can be like on the right side of the fight or the wrong side of the fight, always be on the right side, you can affect change in your little orbit. And if more people are doing that, less people will be negatively affected. I'm not some like revolutionary punk that thinks that we can really like take to the streets and actually affect real change. But what we can do is take to the streets and make our voices heard to try and get individuals to change their orbit and their decision-making process and how they treat people in their personal life, if that makes sense. Again, I don't think we're going to change the state. That's just my opinion. But what we can do is we can try and affect those like closest to us and try our best like individually to be like that beacon in a group, you know, because we all have friends who just might not know better or might be too scared to do something or might just give in because they don't have the fight in them or whatever. So you try and be that person to support people around you that need the support. And if you can do that, you can affect very real change. I mean, it's cliche to say, but if you can help one person through this outside of like government help, then you've done a very good job and you've affected change. And that's revolutionary in its own way. So
yeah,
I look at a smaller scale because I think that's more attainable. I mean, personally.
Yeah, I mean, the Turbo Negro is or was punk rock, I should say. Right now, I don't know about it, but it's still the whole Turbo Negro micro society. They should understand the roots of punk, and they should exactly understand what you guys are saying, and Bobby, what you were pointing out about spreading the right word in your bubble and work from there and start from there. I mean, the whole situation in the States, in the land of the free, where I mean. I never understood why I could not drink a beer on the streets. I mean, that's a poor example, I know, but still, it's so basic. And
no, it's a perfect example because it's little shit like that that leads to big shit. Because you know what's next, Danny? Next is same-sex marriage, guaranteed. Yeah. After that is trans rights,
guaranteed. Everything.
Then we go to contraception.
How you have sex and who you have sex with, and you know, it's. Then what? It's ridiculous, you know.
But they're not talking about regulating boner pills, right? Which they should.
Right. If we're right.
Regulating control. Let's talk about regulating why these old men can't
not
fuck
the
to
boner
be-
pills. Yeah. yeah.
It's a sick state of mind and a sick in a way in a sick state of the American society. I have to admit and say, and I was really. More than surprised what can happen in the society when you let certain things develop. And I think that's a big takeaway also from the conversation that you really you cannot stop educating yourself and looking at stuff and be critical and challenge politicians and what they say and how they do it. I think that's as of now probably the only way of dealing with it, and I think we could sum it up like this. Is there anything you guys wanted to share with the audience? Closing out this quite not controversial, but actually just sad podcast in a way.
Anger is fuel, you know. Keep talking and keep having these conversations, and read books, people. Read. You know, yeah. And just talk and educate yourselves and be pissed and do what you can. You know, I don't know. I personally am just going to start digging up all the resources I can find. I posted a couple links on social media for abortion assistance. So I think, you know, we need immediate solutions right now while people are panicked. So.
If one person sees that, Amanda, and one person is helped by that post, yeah. then it worked, right? So, and I'm going to go back a little bit to what I said. I'm not saying that, like, if there is a revolutionary action possible that will change the system, I'm all for it. But what I'm saying is we can't just scream and yell and hope for that to happen. What we need to do immediately is scream and yell, be pissed, and do like what Amanda's saying, make some real, like affect some real change in your, as much as you can personally in your orbit by posting something on social media, asking friends if they need help, just putting something out there that said, hey, if you're out of state and you need help, like I'm available. Like, because someone else might see that and be inspired to do the same thing, and then that's how it spreads on a grassroots level, and then we're literally doing all we can do, and that's all we can do, right? And those of us that have kids, fuck, teach your kids to just question everything, question authority, period. Question yourself, question your parents, question everything. Be pissed, but have hope and be kind at the same time. And fuck, that's all we can do. Don't push your religious beliefs on other people. If somebody wants to be Christian and believe that abortion is wrong, that's great. That's fine. Whatever helps you be a good person. But don't tell the next person that they need to follow your beliefs. And if everybody could just do that and respect individuality and free thought and free thinking and liberty, then that's how we get back to like being the stereotypical land of the free. Cause right now we're not, we're just telling other people what to do. And that's the antithesis of what we should be about.
Yeah. Word. All right, guys. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Bobby, for your time, for
good
that conversation.
Yeah. And, good to see you guys.
And, yeah, we'll keep our lines open, so to say. So if anybody listening to the podcast needs some help, some education, some tip, feel free to reach out. I'll post some links below the podcast, so we'll all gonna be smartening ourselves up. Thank you guys for that conversation. Keep the spirit up.
Thank you.
And keep pushing back.
All right.
All right. Love you guys.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
So guess where I am? I'm in bed for Bengal. The usual situation.
Yeah, I can see you new school style on Zoom.
Yes, and I have my everything shaved for you already.
Wow. the axle hairs are gone.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I can see your hair is gone on your head.
So
what is happening here?
What's better?
I don't know if this is sexually or I've seen movies where men put their heads up into vaginas and stuff. Is that your plan?
That's not me. Yeah, but it's a testosterone thing, you know.
Is it going? Oh, okay. So is it leaving you or growing on you?
No, it's growing. I have too much testosterone, so that's why I lose.
So that's
my
why
hair.
You lose your hair.
Yeah.
So that's the doctor talking, you know, huh?
Yeah,
you know all
yeah.
that shit. But you look great. Yeah. You have a beautiful face. I haven't seen
seriously
you in a while.
Spoken.
Soft spoken.
No, seriously.
Yeah. Okay. On a serious basis. I mean, let me describe this for the audience because this is a sort of an intro. For the Welttube, you can target because, as usual, and we haven't had this for 2 years, the Bengal and me, we'll be podcasting out of bed during the Welttube, you can target and giving you a first-hand look of what we've experienced and what we are experiencing. So I started off this podcast by just laying in bed and podcasting with the Bengal. And honestly, we're not going to put this on video, but you are half naked. Is that coincidence?
Yeah, I'm just preparing, you know, for the situation when I'm lying next beside you.
Body next to body. Just as like Bridget
Sweating
Nielsen's
bodies
son.
in hot, hot Hamburg.
Old Yehi's body. In Hamburg. So, okay, that's what's going to be up next for us is Hamburg. Indeed, as we were mentioning, the podcast is one thing, but the other thing is that we'll be spending a few days in one of the best towns on the planet, and we'll be taking part in our I don't know how many Welttube Jugendtage. So that's a great thing.
It's an absolutely awesome, super 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 exciting, most needed situation, because from the last 2 years, it for me it was. I mean, you can talk about shit, but it for me it was one of the most missing things, not being in Hamburg.
At Welttube Jugendtage, exactly.
Yeah, so 2 years missing out. Welttube Jugendtage, it's
a bummer.
Yeah, it was hard. It was really really hard, because Welttube Jugendtage is one of the most important weekends in my life. Every year.
It's a constant in our lives.
It was hard missing it. It was really hard missing it.
So what are you looking forward to the most?
To be just there. To be just there, getting soaked in the city and have all these great experiences every day, everywhere, with bands, with people, with you.
Thank you. Yeah, I bet you
with you. Beer experiences, music experiences, cultural experiences.
Transsexual sometimes.
No, not for me.
Yeah, but I've seen pictures.
Yeah, but you know, it's just, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's just, you know. Yeah, that's what they say. But good.
Yeah. No, it's...
So will you...
Yeah.
What concerts are you going to be? What, you know, there's a slew of concerts going on. What are you looking forward to the most? Grindhouse?
Not for the most, but I'm really, really excited that Grindhouse made their way to Hamburg. And I even think that I was a little bit how can I say, involved, that these guys will take action there.
Oh, really? Didn't know that. They have your fingers in every hole.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the cool thing, but especially since they play a little bit. A little finger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Small finger.
Yeah. So the great thing is that because they all play at the Molotov right now, and the great thing is our experience is at this very cool place. We've seen, you know, remember White Fang? And this this second concert of Honig Barn at the Weltbühnentag on the last of Weltbühnentag, says Molotov always seems to bring out the best in bands.
Yeah, I'm super excited because, you know, I'm absolutely sure that there will be another White Fang
experience.
That means that you have no idea what kind of band is entering the stage, and suddenly you are
loving it,
blown away. And for in the Molotov, it was White Fang, it was Honig Barn, and for me, it was, and I have really to say that, the most, for me, I think it's the number, it's on the top five, and maybe it's even the top one band. It's the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yes. Very intense.
And we've seen there with them there, and I can remember Jurgi Rakula when he told me, "You have to, Bengel, you have to go to Good, the Bad, and the Ugly." And I say, "Oh, what? Blah, blah, blah. No, you have to see them. You have to see them." And we went there. We didn't really plan to go there, at least not that early. Mm-hmm. And then we saw them, and they changed
us. They ate us.
They changed it. I absolutely adore this band.
They have
everything I need.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that the organizers always seem to really do well is they pick certain bands that might not be that familiar, and they would have them play at the Weltbühnentage. One band from Cologne, Stacy Crown. I mean, I've seen them before, and they picked them for the boat ride of Mirko, right? And they will be, I mean, really, you will see, they will blow you away. They are, that is also one band that came out of nowhere, even though they are out of a small town, of some town in Germany, and they just are killing musicians. And I think this is something I would like to tell the audience, that just try it out and go to Hamburg and book all your tickets for each and every day, because there will be some bands that you will regret at a later point in your life. Also see White Fang. What if we never saw White Fang?
Yeah,
this was just pornography.
Yeah, this sort was...
I saw a ball squeeze.
Awesome.
That was cool. Yeah, so really, everybody listening, really... think about all those bands that you might not know, but they will be good because the organizers have good taste. And on the other hand, just by really getting your tickets, and it's not a shitload of money. I know it is money, but still, buying those tickets is making sure that the Weltbühnentag will be not surviving, but at least will be providing you a real good program for years to come. But this starts with you buying the tickets, right? Because if there's if there are not enough people at the bars, at the concerts, there will be a sort of cost situation evolving. And really just smarten up, and we'll have enough time to talk to all the other guys and girls and whatnot, transvestites and whatnot in Hamburg. But really, we are a group that serves music, and this is exactly the reason why you should go there and hit the concerts on a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
I mean, for me, it's an absolutely no-brainer not to grab your own ass to Hamburg and buy those tickets. We have a 2 years break. I mean, everybody has to burn. I mean, usually in my world, Hamburg must see the best Weltbühnentage ever, because everybody is keen and wants absolutely, with every single part of this body, wants to go there and wants to see this, wants to be there again. I mean, for me, it's an absolutely, I cannot even think no brainer. About not going. It's a no-brainer. I even cannot think about of not going there. I mean, okay, if it's not affordable, okay, that's another topic. But if there is the possibility you can go there, there's no...
Just do it. I mean, if looking at you and your enthusiasm, even at your tender age of, we're not going to talk about it, even at your old age, and I can really say this, it made you, this well to be, you can talk, it made you do something that you would have never thought that you would do again. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the reason why it's probably a good comparison, because we talked about that people aren't buying tickets, and there are people in Hamburg, St. Pauli, to be with guys who are really, really putting lots of efforts to make this place event happen, and they see then they need the people to go there, and this is a sad part of, for me, a little bit a sad part of the Tuberjugend, that I always said the ways of the Tuberjugend are non-predictable. Mm-hmm. So you cannot predict what is going to happen. It could be awesome and brilliant, but it could be a great concert and everybody's sitting outside of the venue and drinking beer. Mm. And don't even recognize the band inside the venue.
Yeah, but it's a matter of getting older, and you think about stuff in a different way, and drinking is one thing, but it's a sort of respect towards the bands, I think.
And for me, it was also because you were talking about what made me do it again.
Doing what again?
Some of you might know that I did some music for the Tuberjugend. So I realized years before that there was nothing specifically made for the Tuberjugend, and I thought it would be cool to make some music just for the Tuberjugend.
Some songs, right?
And I started with covers and did some cover songs, and the first song was just. Yeah, it was just an idea with you in Cologne. It was just an idea, and I just jumped on it and I did it, and it was really well received, and I received really lots of good and nice feedback, and then I continued and made some others, and the project's gone bigger, and there were people involved, but it costs money. Yeah, I'm not a producer, so I have the ideas and I record everything and I plan everything, but there has to be somebody there in the back that is doing it, engineering, you know, that putting it all together, and I had to pay this guy. And it cost me a lot of money, and suddenly I thought it's not.
No, is the feedback good enough?
No, the feedback was good, but you know, I thought that maybe they don't, people
appreciate
don't
it really, enough.
Yeah, how about that? If you know, for sure you somehow you think you want that somebody appreciates it and likes it, but you cannot be, you know, how can I say, you cannot be sad if it's not happening enough, you know. But you know, it was the payoff wasn't
sufficient
enough for me, and so I said, okay, I'm not doing it anymore, and that's it. I did the songs, and they gained a lot of views on YouTube. You know, there was. Tuberjugend in Hamburg, and
Tuberjugend saved my life, right?
That was Tuberjugend saved my life, you know. And they really gained lots of hits on YouTube, and that made me really happy, because you know, it's
maybe, I mean, that's the currency of your valuation, is a click or a view, right?
Yeah, this is the new
symbol. The new thank you is a thumbs up.
The new symbol is how many clicks you receive, you know.
Yeah.
But I know how hard it is, as a band to get recognized and to get feedback and to get seen by the others. And you know, if you got if you have a band and you have 130 views,
it's a sad thing.
On YouTube, it's a sad thing. And suddenly with this project that got thousands of views, and you know, there was, and just inside the Tuba Human, so it was good. But okay, 2 years of waiting, and I'm so super excited of getting back to Hamburg. And so I thought, and coincidentally, we for my own band Super Sheriff, we did 5 new songs in the studio, and I thought maybe it's time for not doing a cover, maybe it's time for doing a song of my own for the Tuba Human.
To be a cover of your own songs.
Yeah, you know, so I wrote a song for Super Sheriff, and it took this song, one of these 5 songs I took, and I asked a Tuba Jugend guy, because I wanted a Tuba Jugend project only, so only Tuba Jugend people are involved, except of one guest who is, for me, a star.
Okay, once are you going to reveal the name of it?
Yeah, it's Ivar.
From
it's the singer of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, as I mentioned.
Quite before. Prominent.
And Kvelertak.
Oh yeah, well that's some name.
And I also mentioned another band before, and there's another singer on board. It's Mick, the singer of Grindhouse.
Yeah.
So, for me,
a personal favorite of ours,
a lifetime achievement. But let's do it in chronological. Is it?
Yes. Yeah.
Somehow, yeah. So the first thing was okay. I need a drummer, because my from the band of Super Sheriff, there's our drummer is not Tuba Jugend, so I needed a Tuba Jugend drummer. So I asked Mike D. Krakus from the glorious band D. Cracks from
also Vienna. From Tuba Jugend Balboa.
Yeah, I asked him if he could fill in, and he said, "Yeah, for sure, no problem." So he went to the studio. I just sent him the song in advance for him to prepare, and I think he just listened to maybe 1-2 times. I didn't think he didn't even prepare for it. He just went to the studio, made bam, 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 and it was
his finished. Magic. Yeah,
he's magic. He is really magic.
Who else is on the band?
So this was the first step. Then it took a long time because I was thinking about which people and which person and maybe whatnot. And then I started to dream. And then I started to dream. And I started to dream that maybe it would
be El Rio. So cool.
Yeah, it would be so cool and a lifetime goal for me if Ivar from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly and Kvelertak and Mick sing on this song. So there is, you know, this like high note yelling punk rock Aussie guy, and on the other side, there is this screaming. How can I say this screaming
Nordic wall, Nordic
this screaming wall of sound, you know, this this full of energy person, Ivar, it would be a perfect match. So I was dreaming about it, and suddenly somehow after some weeks it worked out.
So you contacted them and they said yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
They charged you a shitload?
Yeah. No, they charged nothing.
Oh, that's nice.
But it took them or me,
of course,
really a while to get it done. You know,
but as I can say, you made it in time.
Yes, I made it in time. This was, you know, it was not sure, but I made it in time. And you know, then I have lots of Jugendliche who made a choir. You know, a boys choir, a Tuba Jugend boys choir. Lots always of Tuba Jugend did that for me, and from Mexico, from Germany, from Austria, from lots of places, and they sent me the files, and I put together the choir, and we have a really awesome and talented bass player from the United States of USA, of America, USA, Bobby Ramone.
Oh yeah, we just listened to him on the podcast.
Yeah, he already did the bass for one of my other songs, and it was really, really cool working with him, and he's very professional and did it an awesome job. And Jyrki Rakola from, you know, the from Finland always did the some sweet some Finnish sounds from
Mestari. Jyrki on Mestari.
Yeah, fairy sounds from another planet. And I got, I mean, even, maybe even better than Euroboy, the guitar master himself, for me, the best guitar player, at least in Austria and Vienna. But for me, I really adore his guitar playing. It's Steve Cannonball from the band Reverend Backflash.
And from the Jugend, Tube Jugend Sängerknaben Wien.
So,
and Bad Sauerbraun.
Yes. So only Tube Jugend guys who were involved in this project, and everybody did really were focused and really did their best. And I think the end result is, it's, you know, it's taste. It will not fill every taste, but it's for the Jugend.
Yeah. So you made it, you compiled the song, and this is the reason why you're back presenting your own cream puff.
Yeah. So I present my own cream puff now.
Oh yeah.
Oh, oh okay.
Go ahead.
Long time not speak.
Long time no speak.
So okay, I wasn't prepared for that honor. Okay. Yeah. So
of course. What do you think?
Ladies and gentlemen, sailors and sailorettes, I proudly present you the new Bangland the Tuba Jugend song, song number 6. It's called
You Tell Me.
Fuck, what is it called?
Oh, God. You're drinking. It's the song of silence.
It's called Tuba Jugend.
Oh, that's a hard name. You might not remember that. Okay, so 3, 2, 1. Here's the cream puff powered by Bengal.
Take us on the road. This is Max Fartin from Stockholm. See you at Veltur Bugintage.